two men on a journey. As we go through our life, we're on a journey. So we should all be able to identify with these two men. Look with me at the beginning, in verse 13. The two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. That was not where they were called to go. They were leaving where God wanted them. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you were going away from what God had called you to do? Have you ever experienced walking away from Christ? Something to really consider. I don't believe these two men were wanting to just throw in the towel, if you will, and forget about God, but they were discouraged. Has anyone here ever been discouraged before? Happens to all of us, doesn't it? These two men had probably walked with the Lord, had seen the Lord perform miracles, had heard His preaching and His teaching, and now they were discouraged. They'd also seen the Lord killed. They'd seen Him crucified. They thought that He had come to redeem Israel, to get them out from under the bondage of the Roman Empire. And now He died. But 3 days later, as they even said, some of the women had gone to the tomb and found that it was empty, just as Christ had said that He would rise from the dead. Then Peter and John, they'd gone to the tomb. They found it empty also, just as Christ had said. But these two men were so discouraged that even with the good news, they decided to walk away. They decided it was time to leave. Have you ever had a discouraging moment when you just weren't sure what God was doing and you decided, I'm just going to quit. I'm walking out of here. I've had enough of coming to church. I've had enough of listening to God's Word. It's not working the way I wanted it to. It's not doing what I thought it should do. So I've had it. Apparently, these two men had had it. They were walking the wrong direction. Isn't God so gracious, though? So merciful. Even as they're leaving, walking away, and they're reasoning and discussing things among themselves, and probably, like so many of us, have this terrible human tendency to do, we get in a little group, we find somebody else that's not satisfied, and so we start talking about it, and it makes it so much worse. We try to reason things out with our own mind, with our own intellect, and it just makes things worse. So they decided, let's hit the road. Let's go. We've had it. Let's go. And as they're going, they talk about it and talk about it, and in their heart, they're just making it worse. But God's grace. We see God's grace in verse 15, as they were going along, talking and reasoning it out, Jesus came to them. Jesus drew near to them. You know, there was a time in my life that I know Christ chased me down. People have asked me before, Uncle Dan, Brother Dan, how'd you get saved? I tell them, I say, well, I did my part and God did His. My part was running. I was really, really good at it. I was running from God. But His part was chasing and catching, and He was better at it. I'm so thankful that He was. When I was, to my everlasting shame, at one time shaking my fist at the sky and cursing God and daring Him to come down and do something about it, He did. He came down and He showed His grace and His mercy. He showed me true love and compassion, and it changed my life. You know, it's often been said, the heart of the gospel is change. To truly repent, to truly be saved, to truly be born again, will change your life. It will change the way you think, the way you act. It will change the way you talk. It will change your heart. And everything in life will change. These two men, apparently weren't ready for that change. That's why they'd left. They were going the wrong direction. And as a result of that, in verse 16, it says that their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. They couldn't understand, they couldn't discern that it was God, Christ Himself, right here with them when He came close and wanted to walk alongside them. They just didn't see it. They could not grasp that this was a resurrected Savior that had died on the cross for their sins because they were going the wrong direction. When we're headed the wrong direction in our life, physically, in our heart, spiritually, in our mind, mentally, when we're going the wrong direction, our discernment, it's shot. We have no spiritual sight. We have no spiritual understanding when we're walking contrary to God's Word. When we're walking against the flow of Christ. When we're going to somewhere where God did not want us, then our spiritual discernment is going to be zero. We won't understand if God Himself were to come right alongside us, take us by the hand and said, "Son, I want to do something." We'd do just like these two disciples and went, "Who are you? What are you talking about?" We would not get it if God Himself appeared before us. So, once again, we see the utter grace of God. Seeing these two men that He'd called, He had a place for and a purpose for and a reason to live and a reason to preach the gospel of the kingdom, He sees them leaving. And I'm sure that it was a saddening moment when He saw them going. But His grace was so sufficient that He chased them down. He went after them. He knew that they wouldn't get it. He knew that if He walked right up and introduced Himself, they would just, "Oh yeah, right. I mean, you're dead. We saw you die. We don't believe that." So He didn't even try to introduce Himself. He didn't even try to tell them who He was. He just got up close to them and started sharing with him. He actually, you know, he asked him, "What are you guys talking about? What's going on here?" And they went on and just poured their heart out to him. They told him everything that they'd been discussing and trying to reason in their own mind. They spilled the beans, an old term. They just told it all. Everything that they had, they just blurted it out. And notice Christ's reaction. Verse 25, Jesus said to them, "Oh, you foolish, foolish people, slow of heart to believe." He called them idiots, really. He said, "You bunch of dummies. I mean, come on, get with it. Don't you understand anything? Why are you so slow in your heart to believe the truth?" Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes God has to do that to me. He has to be what some would consider a little harsh. Once in a while, I need a kickstart, just a kick in the pants, to get me started in the thinking the right direction, to get me started paying attention to what God is doing. We were on a trip. We've done a lot of traveling recently. We were in Tucson, Arizona, just a couple of weeks ago for Fair Ministry out there. We shared the gospel with people at a fair. Had 52 people that prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. We're so thankful for that. And had dozens, hundreds probably that we witnessed to and tried to share the gospel with that just didn't want any part of it. They didn't want to hear about it. Or as some of them said, they said, "Yeah, I'm really interested, but I just don't have time." And whenever somebody tells me that, I'd say, "Well," I look at my watch, or my arm actually, I don't wear a watch, and I say, "Well, I got plenty of time, I'll loan you some." I mean, if that's the only thing that's stopping you from knowing Jesus Christ and being saved, then I've got plenty of time. So let's just take the time. But so many people, they have their own agendas in life. They want to live their life the way they want to. And not even God is going to stop them, unfortunately. Thank God, though, while we were out there, 52 people, they said, yes, I want Jesus to save my soul. They bowed their head in prayer after we shared some scripture with them and had them seated and showed them the gospel and taught that to them. And they said, dear Jesus, please save me and forgive me. We saw 52 people come to know the Lord. That was a couple of weeks ago. We were out there. We came home and we flew to Tennessee, took a trip over there, and we're at a conference, the Amazing Grace Mission that we're part of now. Had a conference, so we spent a couple of days there. Then we drove a motorhome, an RV, from Chattanooga, Tennessee, to our home in Fort Scott, Kansas. About 700-mile trip. About halfway through the trip, the fuel pump went out. We just started losing power and losing power and losing power. Finally, we just weren't able to make it over any more of the Ozark Hills down in southern Missouri. And so I pulled into a little town called Kabul, Missouri. And there we asked, one of the first places I saw is a Christian ministry. I don't remember the name of it. They fixes up old cars and helps to support his ministry that way. And pulled over there and I said, do you know anybody that works on RVs? I think my fuel pump is about to go out. And he said, well, I don't. I can't do anything like that. There's a place down here. And he sent me down there to a parts store. And they said, oh, we can't work on anything that big, but we know a place. So they sent me to another one. We finally got there. It was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But it was a shop that could do it, and they pulled us right in. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon when we got there. And God was so gracious to us. I had been going for miles just, Lord, what are we going to do? I got this big RV. I got to get it home. We've got things to do. We've got to come up. I knew I needed to be here Sunday morning. We have to pack. We're leaving for Warsaw for the Christian Witness Center tomorrow morning. So a lot of things I knew I had to do. And I kept praying, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Finally, I came to the point. I said, wait a minute. This is silly. Lord, what are you going to do? God, what do you want out of this situation? You know it was going to happen before it ever took place. He knew it was going to happen before the foundations of the world. So why am I worried about it? This is all on God. And when I put it back on Him, I started praying, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? Then the next hill that I came to, I couldn't hardly get up. We crawled up that hill and I thought, okay, there's an exit. We got to take it. We got to get off this highway and find something. Pulled into the town. We were able to find some place. And God allowed us to share the gospel with some people that I don't think they'd, I know they weren't churchgoers, don't think they were saved, but we gave them a little tract, some little smiley Bibles that we hand out, and we're able to talk to them just a little bit, and they fixed us up, got us going, we got home, praise the Lord. But you know, in life, if your thinking is, what am I going to do? Sorry. If that's your thinking, then it's wrong. And God needs to change it. It's not what we're going to do. It's God, what are you going to do? That makes all the difference in the world. With your outlook, your perspective on life, when it's God, what are you going to do? God, what do you want to do? That changes our whole attitude. It makes that change in the human heart so that we can see that mighty hand of God at work. We saw His mighty hand at work. We got home without any further mishaps or adventures. Praise God. And now the RV is sitting in our backyard, ready to get packed up and go to a fair here in a few weeks. God is so good to make provision for everything in our life. But when we try to do it ourselves, we fail. I always fail when I try to do things myself. Jesus, He said, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He told them all the things. He preached to them everything in the Scriptures that was about Himself, about the Messiah. The thing that He did, He started with their ears. He penetrated their ears. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we start hearing the Word of God preached and taught and read and expounded, then you know what? It starts to change us. It starts to change us by giving us faith. These two guys, they had enough faith to run. That's all they were doing. They were leaving where God wanted them to be. And that was what their faith was doing. It was non-existent, if you will, at this point. Jesus had said, slow to believe. He really meant it. They were slow to believe. Their faith, it was out the window. They were running. Yet, the preaching of the Word of God, hearing it in their ears, it started bringing faith to them. As they went along, then Jesus made like He would go farther. He was willing to accommodate them. They came to this town, Emmaus. Emmaus is about 7 miles or so from Jerusalem. They came to the town and they were willing to stop then. I mean, they'd heard enough. Their faith was starting to be built. They were ready to stop and learn some more. Jesus, He was willing to go on. He was willing to go farther. If they were still running, He would have gone with them. You know, the Bible tells us He will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how far you try to outrun God, it cannot be done. If you are a child of God, if you have been born again of His Spirit, you cannot outrun His grace. It cannot be done. I would have to say I tried. I really tried. For 30 years of my life, I tried to get away from God. And I'm so thankful to find out that I couldn't do it. So grateful for His grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. That old hymn went through my mind when I was at a bar drinking, when I was even cursing God, that I would remember that hymn, Amazing Grace. Sometimes I would find myself humming or whistling or even singing that tune. What am I doing? I'm not one of those people. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want anything to do with them. But I couldn't get away from His amazing grace. It followed me and followed me until He chased me down with it. Here, Jesus speaks the Word of God. It comes into their ears. And then they constrained Him. They spent the night. They said, let's stay here for a while. Verse 30, it says, it came to pass that He sat at meat with them, and He took bread and blessed it and brake it, and He gave it to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened. After the hearing of the Word of God starts producing faith inside of their hearts, then communion with Christ. The sweet communion with Christ that we all need every day, that's what opened their eyes. And they could see and recognize, this is Him! He's alive! He didn't just die. It's not all in vain. It's not all over. He's alive! They saw Him in His resurrected glory. They had walked with Him for, we don't know how far, but for a ways. They had heard Him as He spoke and preached the Scripture to them. But now, that sweet communion, and their eyes are open. They get it. Don't you just love it? When you try to share the gospel with someone, when you try to tell them about Christ, about God, and you can see it's just going in one ear and out the other, and then finally, it's like the light comes on. They get it. Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Yes, I want to be born again. Isn't that just the most wonderful and precious thing? It truly is. To see someone's eyes open, their spiritual understanding, when they're first quickened and awakened and they're made a brand new person after they repent and they're saved. When they're born again and the lights really come on, that's what Jesus got to see in these guys. Their eyes were open and they knew Him. Now I want to tell you something, dear saint. If you are a child of God, two things that you need every day, these two are really one, there's two parts of it. The one thing is communion with Christ. The two parts of that communion are doing just like these guys did at the beginning when they first saw that this guy was coming alongside and he asked what's going on. They poured their heart out to him. They told him everything that was going on in their life. That's what prayer is. Telling Jesus, telling God everything that's going on in your life. Even if you don't ask for help. They didn't really ask any questions about him helping. They were just telling him what was going on. That's what prayer really is. Telling God what's going on in your life. That's the first part of communion with Christ. The second part is the hearing of the Word. Just dig into the Scriptures and allow Him to break the bread of the Word of God and feed you. Just allow Him. Open it up. After you've poured out your heart to Him, open up the Scriptures and just see what He's got. Maybe you're not asking Him questions. Maybe you're not asking Him for a miracle. Maybe you're really not asking for anything. You just want to tell Him what's going on. And after you do, and you open the Word up, your eyes are opened. That sweet communion with Jesus, it opens our spiritual understanding. It gives us spiritual sight. Before that time, we're going this way, and yeah, things kind of look bleak. The RV's losing all of its power, and you don't know if you're going to make it over the next hill. Maybe at school you have struggles. Maybe in your work there are relationships that are just, they make life really hard, and you want, I don't get this. God, what is going on here? I don't understand how to deal with these people. I can't do this test, God. I just can't complete this. Mathematics is not my cup of tea. English is, it's not a language I want to learn. You know, whatever the case may be, this applies to you and to me. It really does. Communion with Christ. Pour your heart out to Him. Open up the Scriptures and let Him teach you. Let Him show you. And you know what that produces? Starts in the ears, okay? He preaches the Word of God, starts in the ears, goes to the eyes. They get open in the communion. You know what produces next? Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He opened the Scriptures, while He taught us in the way? Did not our heart burn within us? You know, we all need that every day. The sweet communion with Christ, it burns in our heart. When we know His presence is near, we have that heart filled with the peace of God, but with the realization that this is the Almighty King of the universe. And it makes us fear Him more. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs tells us. Beginning of knowledge, the beginning of understanding is to truly fear God. When we see how great He is, it shows us how small we really are. That makes us have a godly, reverential fear of Him. Our heart burns within us to know that this great and wonderful, almighty God has so much grace that He could love me, even a sinner like myself, even one that ran from Him and turned away from Him, He would still love and come after. It causes that burning in our heart that causes the next step. Verse 33. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They went back where they were supposed to be. Like I said earlier, the heart of the gospel, the Bible teaches, is change. This change came about. They returned. You know what repentance truly is? Repentance is when we're headed this way, and we make a 180-degree turn completely around, and we go the opposite direction. That's what these two men did. They changed their heart, returned, and so physically they returned to Jerusalem. They went back where they were supposed to be. They repented of their sin. You know, repentance, it's a requirement for salvation. To repent of our sin nature and turn to Christ to have that forgiven, to have our old sin nature washed, cleansed, made new, to have our sins wiped out. That's required for salvation. After a person is saved, though, repentance is required every time we turn away from God's Word. Every time we hear the Word of God and say, yeah, but, I can't do that. Every time we reject the Word of God, we must repent because it's sin. It's sin to reject God's Word, even the smallest part of it. We serve a holy God. That means He's perfect. That means He's without flaw. His Word is perfect, without flaw. That means every word of it is absolutely perfect. And when we reject it, when we see in the Word that we should be students of the Bible, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we see that and we say, well, yeah, but that doesn't apply to, I don't have to study the Bible. I just go to church, you know, and they teach it to me. I just pick it up, you know, whenever it's convenient or whenever I have a problem. You know, when we reject God's Word, we need to repent every time. Repentance is required for God's children also. I believe that these two guys here, they may or may not have been God's children. They had been followers. They now were not. They tried to run. They tried to turn away. Jesus came and chased them down, though. He will always chase down His children. If you've been born again, if you've truly been saved, if you've truly repented of your sin and turned to Christ for salvation, then every time you sin, the Bible says you need to repent. You need to just confess that to God, tell Him that you're sorry for doing it, and ask for His help to not do it again. And every time you do, you'll get that sweet communion with Christ that'll open your eyes and your understanding to even more truth to help you in your walk with Christ. Not to help you stray, but to help you in your walk to go His way. Now, dear saints, I have two questions for you this morning. The first one, which way are you going? Are you truly a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you doing what you know He wants you to do? He has a place for you, you know. Right now, His place for you is right here, in this assembly, in this congregation, because you're here. So there's no question about that. That's your place. You should be here. Whenever there's an opportunity to get together and hear the teaching of the Word that's going to enter your ears and open your eyes and burn your heart more to help you follow Him closer, that's the place you need to be. It really is. If you do like many do, and just and whenever it's convenient, you should repent. You really need to. God is not just a convenience. He is a mighty, almighty Creator that loved you so much. He left heaven and came down here, and He loved you so much, He stretched out His arms and died for you. His compassion, His grace, it will do you no good if you're just the old expression used to be Sunday go to meeting Christian. If you just go to church on Sundays just to, you know, talk to people and have a good time and fellowship and hear a little bit of stuff, but if your heart isn't being changed by the Word of God, then you should repent. You really should. Because that's not Christianity. True Bible-believing Christianity is living your life every day with that sweet communion with Christ, pouring your heart out to Him, then opening His Word so He can open your eyes and your ears and your heart. If you don't have that relationship, that close personal relationship with Him every day, then dear saint, this morning I would say to you, repent. Change. Make a commitment. From now on, I'm going to live every day of my life as if Jesus Christ died yesterday, He arose again today, and He's coming back tomorrow. That should be the way you live your life. That you're looking for His return tomorrow, and He just arose, and it's fresh and new in your heart. That's the way we should live our lives. If you're not, This morning, dear saint, repent. The second question I would like to ask you, are you with Christ or not? Have you truly repented of your sin and been born again? Have you truly told God that you were sorry for being a sinner, that you knew that your sin actually angered Him? The Bible tells us that He chases the wicked every day with a sword. He's bent His bow and He's pulled back the arrow. He wants to shoot those that have not been saved, those that are wicked sinners. That's the way God looks at sinners. But yet His mercy, with His mercy and His grace, He put the bow aside, He put the sword aside, He came down here and He died on the cross to pay for our sin. He took the arrows that I deserved. He took the sword cuts that you deserve. He was whipped and beaten for us. If you've never truly been saved, born again of His Spirit, this morning I would invite you, in just a moment as we have a hymn of invitation, to come and make that commitment. Come forward and someone will take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, how you can be born again and have your sins totally forgiven and a brand new life. Once again, the way that you live your life, it's going to show others around you, but more importantly, it shows God whether you're really one of His children or not. If you're not living your life like one of His children, following Him, serving Him, having that sweet communion with Him every day, then repent. If you've never been born again, if you've never truly been saved, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't put it off. You're never guaranteed of tomorrow. I would beg you, please give your heart to Jesus this morning.